This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Not long ago, I was hanging around the office and I came across the New Yorker's director of photography, Joanna Milter. And on a big desk, she was laying out a series of black and white images, one after another.
One of our story editors had forwarded an email to me from a man, Peter Cunningham, who claimed to have access to a cache of images that Henri Cartier-Bresson photographed in New Jersey in the 1970s. I thought, is this real? Like, could this be authentic? You know, I mean, Cartier-Bresson is one of the most famous documentary photographers of all time. His catalog is very well known, very famous. And how could there be this cache of unseen, unpublished images?
The scenes were very recognizable to me from my youth. Commuters stuck in a traffic jam near the George Washington Bridge, beauty salons, an office, huge sprawling power plants. These were terrific pictures by a French photographer who was really one of the masters of the form. And Henri Cartier-Bresson had chosen to shoot them all in my home state, in New Jersey.
It's a kind of shortcut through America, in a way. Something where you find extremes. When we mentioned to anybody that we're doing an essay, that means concentrating on various aspects of New Jersey, they're always surprised. Why? But what's the interest? And it seems that they just go through on the turnpike, and it's all the industrial areas that they'd like to forget.
So the story of how Peter Cunningham came to have these prints in his possession is really interesting. In the 1970s, Peter told me, his girlfriend at the time was working as a producer at a public television station in New York.
Yeah, that's right. Working on a PBS show called Assignment America as an associate producer. She came home saying that she wanted to do a show on a photographer, and who should she do? Well, I said, well, you should get Henri Cartier-Bresson, but he'll never do it.
And so she invited Cartier-Bresson to the United States with the proposal that they make a documentary about him and that he create a body of work and that they make a documentary around that body of work.
When Jean came home and told me that Cartier-Bresson had said yes, I probably fell on the floor or jumped and touched the ceiling. It was unbelievable because Henri was and still is my hero.
And then Peter, who was a young photographer, burgeoning photographer at the time, ended up with the assignment to be his assistant.
We drove out of the city every day and yakked away in the car all the way and drove all the way back and yakked all the way back. It was only when we were in the process of shooting that Henri didn't want to talk. And my job was to make all the interactions, to speak with people, and allow him to be completely, to be himself in the frame. He loved living in the frame of his Leica.
So who would decide where to go, and what was the conception behind it all?
Jean Evans in the studio at PBS at Channel 13 did the production. So she booked us every day somewhere with the Newark Fire Department or with a nuclear power plant or with the State House in Trenton or this and that. So she planned our targets.
Now, as I remember, Cartier-Bresson used to talk about the decisive moment, capturing the decisive moment. Mm. That was what it was all about for him. How did you see that in action?
The decisive moment. What one thing he told me I never connected until you mentioned it, David, is that he would say to don't see what's happening now, see what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. Look, you know, focus your eyes a second or two in advance of the present tense, which is unusual kind of advice. We are all told to live in the present. Well, he's actually living a second or two before the present.
He's anticipating.
I think that's right, David.
And did you see him? Was there any moment, any photograph that you can recall? You said, now I see what he's up to.
Here, I'll show. Here's on. They're mounted on board for the TV production. But this picture of Governor Brendan Byrne boxing with Jersey Joe Walcott. And Jersey Joe has a checkered suit on, and I guess PR kind of guy in the background has the same checkered suit, by coincidence, I'm sure. And this was a press event. There were other photographers there, but he maybe shot, I have to look at the context sheets, but he got maybe shot, I don't know, 10 frames. He didn't overshoot. Like we do now with our digital cameras,
right.
where there's no limit. It used to cost us 35 cents each time we pressed the shutter. But now there's
now
no price on it. Yeah, it is. And it changes the way we do things. What he did shoot, some of the pictures were more interesting than others, but every single one of them was beautifully composed, down to the little black corner in the black shape in the corner.
It's so true. He says at one point, Cartier-Bresson says, in photography, the smallest thing can be a great subject. The little human detail can become a leitmotif.
So Henri said that he wanted to show Americans or New Jersey people their own culture. He said that it's very difficult to see a culture from in if you're a part of it. It's like being, you know, a fish in water that doesn't see the water. So this picture, which is pretty ordinary, really strikes me as an example of that. Because at the time, I don't remember, but I probably thought nothing of a guy standing over what we called a girl at the time and supervising her. It was a boss and a secretary. Mm. We don't have bosses and secretaries anymore.
So what we're seeing here is a woman at an office seated, and she's going through some papers, and hovering above her is what, because of the time, we presume to be her supervisor or her boss, who's a male.
She looks a little scared, doesn't she? As if she can't maybe find the thing the boss is looking for.
It does look almost, the office looks incredibly, deliberately lifeless. I mean, it's just cold and endlessly white, and you would not want to spend that much time in that room, much less 40 hours a week.
One thing I learned from Henri's work as a youngster was that this was the power of the still photograph, that even more than a narrative form, the still photograph could reflect reality in ways that worked like a metaphor in the receiver's mind so that they kind of exploded with meaning.
Can you give us an example of any of the photographs where you think that's the case?
Yeah, okay, here we are. So this is the picture that you, David, thank you, featured as the lead picture in your piece. It's a picture from a beauty school in Central Jersey. Mm-hmm. And there's a person is making up another person, but he put himself in a mirror. In the corner of a mirror.
Right, you can see in the lower right-hand corner of the photograph, you have a photograph in which one woman is making up another, but it's also about photography, it's about looking. And so in the lower left-hand quadrant of this photograph, you see Henri Cartier-Bresson taking the photograph. This clearly, this is a, as we now say these days endlessly, a meta picture, a picture about taking pictures, capturing an image and all the rest. It's really quite remarkable.
Yeah. Before I worked with Henri, I used to work in that style, black and white style on the street. And afterwards, I realized if I spent my whole life doing this, I could once in a while get a picture of his standard, but I couldn't ever achieve his level of consistent excellence. So I switched to color film and to a different thing, to doing juxtapositions of images. I consciously changed because he was so good.
He seems so ambivalent about his own art. And said, in fact, he would never use a flash, as far as I understand. And he said that using a flash was impolite, like coming to a concert with a pistol in your hand.
Well, I completely agree. I've been a performance photographer my whole life, and it is. It's a horrible thing to use a flash. It makes the photographer be the center of the action. And in a concert hall, the person on stage is the center of the action.
Now, tell me what resulted from all these photographs. What was put on television at the time in the mid-70s?
Oh, gosh, David, that's a sad story. So there was a problem with the production in that the director insisted on doing it his way, despite knowing that Henri's preferences, he cropped the pictures for TV in TV format, which is whatever it is, 4x5. So the show aired with the pictures cropped, which is a sin. It was a horrible scene.
And so Cartier-Bresson must have been furious.
I was never aware of his personal reaction. He was always friendly with us afterwards. He kept writing postcards and inviting us to visit. But his agent went crazy. And
that's what agents are for.
Well, she did a good job. Yeah. So all history of the New Jersey event disappeared. So in the timeline of Henri's career, photographing in New Jersey doesn't exist. It's not there. It was written out of history.
And then you hung on to these prints and then finally brought them to the New Yorker.
Well, yeah, I protected them for all those times, and I was a busy photographer myself, so I didn't pay much attention that they were on my shelves gathering dust for literally 48 years. And I'm very grateful that the New Yorker picked them up, because as Henri's assistant, being an assistant is sometimes like a love affair. The love affair can end, but you still have a kind of essence of love for somebody a whole life. And that's what I feel with Henri. I'm still his servant, and I would like to do what I imagine he would like. And in this case, I'd like to have the people of New Jersey be able to see the pictures he made of their state nearly 50 years ago.
Peter Cunningham is a photographer himself based in Massachusetts, and you can see Henri Cartier-Bresson's photographs of New Jersey at newyorker.com.